23, and we'll read here verses 1 through 14, Acts 23, verse 1 through 14, and we'll read these verses to first, and then you read the second one, and so on. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thy whitest wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God, high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducee and the other Pharisee, he cried out into the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. But the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there rose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisee part rose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down, and to take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him, and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together, and bound themselves under a curse, saying they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." Let us pray at this time. Lord, we thank you again for the reading of the scripture. And we praise you, Lord, for the word of God. And we thank you, Father, for it. And now, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you have given to us this morning. Pray you fill our pastor with the Spirit of God and give him the wisdom, Lord, to bring forth thy message. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless your dear people in a special way. May, Lord, you bestow a great blessing upon them. Save the lost, dear Lord, and help the ones that are already saved. And we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
What I had done, mercy is gone. with mercy saw me. Whatever you've done, you can go too far. Satisfied of mercy, can see where you are. He loves you too much to leave you alone. Your flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. For your heart today, see yourself through his eyes, and then you can say, "Sin is stolen my dignity, and all my self esteem, but I was made brand new again, and mercy looks at me. As the mercy saw me, though I was broken and so lost, mercy looked past all my faults. The justice of God saw what I had done. Mercy saw me through the sun. Not what I was, but what I could be. That the mercy saw me. Not what I was, but what I could be. That the mercy saw me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let the church say amen there. Acts chapter 23. In your Bible, please, Acts chapter 23. Praise the Lord and thank God for all the singing today and the congregational hymns and special songs and solo. All of it has been a blessing. Now, the most important part, the Word of God. God speaks to you. You've been praying to God and God speaks to you. In Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. We'll look at our text verse in verse 11 from our sermon this morning. And verse 11, it says, "In the night following, the Lord stood by him." Underline that, please. The Lord stood by him. And we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to preach about that this morning, try to encourage you. The Lord will stand right by our side, won't he? Amen. The Lord will be right there with us. Stood right by us. He'll still do it again today in the future, right by us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I'll never leave you, nor forsake you." Let me encourage you. When you think he's not there, he's there. Times that you don't think he's there, he's right there. He's never going to leave you. That's right. He's never going to leave you. And so, in verse 11, the night following, The Lord stood by him. The day the Lord stood by Paul. Think about that. And said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Let's talk about it. Let's pray. Let's pray, please. Holy Spirit, would you please help me have attention to the people? I want to help them. Thank you for bringing them to church and so proud of them coming to church and not letting the devil stop them. Took a lot of effort for them to get here. And now that they're here, Lord, bless them in a special way. Help them to pay attention. And may you encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen. I think about it while I pray. You took time to come this morning to church. Took a lot of effort. You girls, you came on the bus. God bless you. You came on the bus. Now the Lord's got you here, and I want you to pay attention. Take a lot of effort to get here. Some of you drove in. It took a lot of effort for you to get here. The devil did his best to stop you, but God got you here. And I know you say you decided, but let me tell you something. We can't do nothing without the Lord. We can't even think right without the Lord. Amen. So God's got you here, and I want you to get the blessing. Okay? As you can see, Paul's life was in jeopardy in verse 10. And the Bible says, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces. They would have tore him to pieces. They were pulling on him. They wanted to kill him. They didn't want to hear preaching. They didn't want to hear about God. They hated God. And Paul was persecuted a lot. It was a time of great trouble in Paul's life. In the deep, dark hours, when he was thinking, at night, we do a lot of thinking at night, don't we, my friends? Look at verse 11. And the night following, every word in your Bible is important. Every word is important. In verse 11, look what it says here. And at night, and in the night, it didn't say in the day, it didn't say in the morning, but it says at night. Many a times you're going to lay your head down upon a pillow and think about things when we think at night. When I grew up as a little child, would you look at me? As a little youngster when I was your age, sometimes I would go to bed with a lot of trouble on my mind. I was a little kid, little junior boys, little junior girls. Many times I would cry. I would go run up into the bathroom and shut the door and cry. And Mom and Dad would be fighting. And they'll be fighting. And I learned to hate alcohol with liquor and did in our home. It caused so much fighting. Caused so much pain, and I'd go cry, and I never liked watching Mom and Dad fight and hit each other. I love them both, and let me tell you something. It was a hard time in my life. It was a troubled time, and you know, I wish I had the opportunity these little young girls have over here, and these young boys, and pick them up on the bus and bring them to church. I wish somebody would have brought me to church and tell me about the Lord Jesus. You know, I needed him. And that's one reason why we work so hard to get folks to church. We want God to encourage them and want God to be with them and want the Lord to help them when they're in trouble. And the Lord wants to help you in your deepest hour. And there's a lot of thought when you're laying down in your bed and you're thinking about, maybe some of you think about all your finances and troubles that you experience financially. Maybe some of you, I don't know, sometimes you go to a doctor and the doctor said, you're not going to live. You only got 6 months to live, or you only got a year to live. By the way, it's not over until God says it's over. Let the church say amen. I heard of a situation where they sent the person home and said, you got only maybe days to live, but the person lived for years and years and kept on living. Amen. And so sometimes people get the news about their health, and you might get some news about a job loss or whatever it is. But I want to say this, whatever you run into, whatever you go through, we need the Lord to stand by our side. Just like the Lord stood by Paul, a time of crisis, a time of realizing trouble, the Lord stands by our side. Look what it says here. And he said, be of good cheer. Look at verse 11. Now, if he told Paul, verse 11, to be of good cheer, hey, are you listening? He must have been discouraged. He must have been sad. He must have been worrying. If God said, be of good cheer, maybe he was crying. There's going to be a day that tears are going to trickle down your cheeks. That's part of life. That's part of life. And hurt's going to come. It might be a death of a loved one. It might be the death of a friend. Years ago, my brother was screaming and crying, and he was. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? With tears in his eyes. Years ago. This is years ago when I was about a teenager. I said, what happened? He said, my friend took a rope around his neck, and he hung himself as a teenager. How sad. But one day, tears are going to trickle down your cheek. I don't care who you are. It might be a death of a friend. It might be a death of a loved one. I don't know what's going to happen. You might be in the hospital bed, and you might be crying in pain. But you're going to need the Lord to stand by your side. You're going to need Him to comfort you. You're going to need Him to strengthen you. You might be thinking about suicide. I beg you, don't commit suicide. Suicide is selfishness. Don't give. And by the way, you're going to have to meet God. And why would you hurt the ones that love you most? Why would you hurt? Sweetheart, I want you to turn all the way around, okay? Right over here. Because sometimes you're going to get discouraged. You're going to need this message. You don't commit suicide. Don't take your life. That is a selfish thing. You're going to have to meet God. You're going to have to meet the Lord. And the Lord, let me tell you something. Hey, do you know we're going to get many rewards in heaven for living right and serving God? Did you know that? Did you know the Bible says there's reward? And hey, do you know He's going to wipe the tears of some people going to be crying and weeping? He's going to wipe the tears because there's tears of regret, tears. Let me say something. People think the answer is taking their life. No, they're going to create a bigger problem when they meet God. And God's not. Hey, God is not for you taking your life. The Lord died on the cross to give you life. And God is not for you taking your life. That is not the way. Let God comfort you. Let God. Some of you say amen because somebody might be thinking about taking their life. You be nice to somebody, and you be kind to somebody, and you shake somebody's hand today. Look at me, because everybody got some problem. Look at me. Look up here. Look up here. Somebody said, behind the smile is a broken heart. You see? There's hurting people. I try to remind you all how much I want to be a help to you, and how much I care about you. And how much I love you. I want to be by your side, but more than that, the Lord want to be by your side. Amen. Say something encouraging to somebody. Preacher, hey, look up here. Look up here. Pastor Barnett loves you. Okay? Of course, I love my family more. I love my wife. I love my children more. I want you to love your wife and children more. I hope you love your wife and children more than you love me. I want you to. Okay? All right? I hope you love your boyfriend more than you love me, your girlfriend. Amen. I'm not your boyfriend and girlfriend. But I want you to love me. And I love you. I love my wife more, of course. I love my precious children. 6 boys, 6 girls. I love them to death. I love them so much. I love them dearly. Hey, look up here. I love them dearly. That's right. You understand that? But I love you. I just want you to have somewhere in there that you love the pastor. I want you to. But 10,000 times more, you need God to stand with you. Now, I'll be there when your funerals come. You get in the hospital, I'll go up there and visit you. Okay? You let me know about it. I find out you're in the hospital, you know I'll come visit you. Okay? But 10,000 times more, the Lord's going to be by your side. Amen. You hear me? Children, it's wonderful to know. Listen to me. Jesus will be there to comfort you. Hey, listen to me. Through His Holy Spirit. He'll be there through His Word. He'll be there through people. But God will stand by your side. He won't leave you. You're going to need Him. Everybody needs Him. Isn't that right? Look what it says here. It says in verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And by the way, God kept His promise. They were about to be destroyed on the boat, but God was with him. He got bit by a poisonous snake, but God was with him, and God seen him through. He was with him all the way. And God will be with you all the way. Let the church say amen. There's been times that your preacher could have been killed. Look up here, please. When I first came down here to Knoxville, my oldest son Bobby back here was a little baby. Bobby was a little baby. He don't remember, he was a little baby. Going up to Morristown. Hey, kids, look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here, sweetheart. And we're up there in Morristown. This is way back in 1985. That's a long time ago. Amen. That's way back, before you were born, I know. Look up here. But do you know when I went up there and preached, somebody was going to assassinate me and kill me? Bobby was just a little baby. He had a shotgun in the back of his car, and he was part of the KKK. You don't want to know what that is. Thank God we don't have much of it today, okay? But he went. Hey, listen to me. He went there. He's going to shoot me, and he was mad. because I was going to his church. His Methodist preacher had me preach. It's a very prejudiced place. And he said he was thinking about, hey, look at me. He was thinking about killing me with a shotgun. But no, it happened. I started preaching. The Lord stood right by me. I started preaching, and God got a hold of that man's heart. Do you know the Lord got a hold of that man's heart? Do you know I met that man, and he hugged me years later? He said, I pray for you every day. I love you. He said, I was going to kill you. He said, I had in my mind that night I was going to kill you. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood by me, and God was with me. You need him too. They have drive-by shootings, and sometimes, and it was such a sad thing in Chicago. I don't know how many of you heard that this week. It's such a sad thing in Chicago. One of the highest crime rate areas in the world. You pray for Danny, my son there, Joy's there, and Becky's there. You pray for their safety. Please pray for their safety. See, I want the Lord to stand right by them. When Minga was there, bullets were flying, and she almost got shot, and bullets came by and almost took her out this world. I don't know if you forgot about that, but the Lord was there standing by our side. You understand that? That's right. Hey, Bobby, that day they stole your wallet. I don't know if you forget. They could have shot you and took your wallet. They didn't have to let you go, man. Hey, Bobby, how about that, huh? We must not forget about the Lord standing by us. But did you hear about the guy? He was down there walking, and the lady was crying. She was weeping on the news. How many of you seen that where they killed her grandfather, and she was crying? Anybody see that in the news? You didn't see that in Fox? You see it there, Brother Johnson? She was crying, an innocent man walking in the streets of Chicago, and they gunned her granddaddy down. They killed her granddaddy. Shot him. And she was crying. Well, what if that was your granddad? What if that was my granddad? What if that was my son or daughter, brother or sister? Hey, look at me, please. Look at me, please. We need the Lord to stand by our side. It's a crazy world we live in. We were in Lonsdale years ago, and we were out there on the bus route. Sister Ruth was coming around the corner. My wife was there. My kids were there. Gunfire. People were, hey, listen, kids. The guns was, the bullets were flying, and a little girl got shot and killed. That could have been my little girl. That could have been my little girl. That could have been your little girl. I'm sorry she got killed. Hey, kids, you need God's protection. You need God's protection. I need God's protection. Bullets were flying everywhere. We were in the midst of bullets. But not one bullet hit our van. God stood by our side. You're going to need God's protection. The Bible says He's our shield. The Bible says He's our protector. And there's school shootings. And I'm so sad. Kids, I'm so sad. When you think about those little kids that got killed up in Connecticut. And they got killed. And they went in there to start shooting the kids. Children, you need Jesus by your side. They killed the little children. My little Cheyenne. I cannot imagine somebody going storming in the school and putting a bullet in my little daughter Cheyenne's head. But that's what happened to the kids. You need God's protection. I need God's protection. We don't know. It's a crazy world. Did you see it? Some of you watched it when they went after that Jewish lady and that Muslim man. He was just thinking about killing somebody, and he was messed up in the mind. And he got the gun. He took his laptop out. He put the bullets in. He put the gun in, and he went out there. And and that lady was running down the stairs, and he shot her in the head. Others were coming out from the office and shot them. A lady that was pregnant shot her, and she put her hand over her stomach and shot her hand. You heard of the Virginia Tech shootings. You've heard of the different crazy shootings at the movie house. You've seen the crazy man start shooting. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And the Philippine people, we ought to pray for them. The monster storm came and wiped them out. Little girls don't have a house. Little boys don't have a house. Homes, they don't have any homes. They're crying. They're weeping. Things you take for granted. They don't have any apartment. I want you to sit up. I want you to be serious now, because you need Jesus to stand by your side. We need God to protect us. Isn't that right? We need God's protection. Let the church say amen. Our dear friend, Pastor Jack Howes, I forgot how many thousands. I don't know if it's 60,000. But somebody paid somebody to go kill the pastor. And he came there with his gun. He came there with his gun to kill him. And during the service, he got saved and showed him the gun. Our dear friend, Pastor Bob Gray, same thing, got a contract on him. I don't know if it was $35,000. The man came, he would have got $35,000 if he killed the preacher. But he got saved during the message. We serve a great God. We serve a wonderful God. We serve a mighty God. Friends, it's a crazy world. It's a sin-sick world. That's why I don't want you young people to take it lightly every time. And years have passed, and they showed them on the news this week. Some of you have seen them again. The parents of those young people that were tortured, the young boy, killed them, set them on fire. The young girl raped her through the night, and they put her in a trash can. This week, years have gone by, and the parents are on there trying to get everybody, trying to get a group together to try to, you know, make it so where the victims, the family of the victims, don't have to go through all that they went through. And I got to give God the praise and glory for His mercy and grace upon us. You know, you thank God for His grace, young people. That could have been you that got your car hijacked. That could have been you. Somebody came with a gun and killed you, or you could have killed somebody. You could have been killed. I'm saying, think about your life. The times you could have died, God stood by you. Okay, let me tell you something. You might forget, but God doesn't forget. Hey, you could have been gone, and God stood by you. God was right there. When was that you could have got killed? When was that you could have got hurt? When was that? I know we read in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And they put them, threw them in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the devil. They wouldn't bow down to the image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they put clothes on them. They put hats on them. We're going to burn you, they said. But the Bible says that Jesus went inside the fire. Hey, where'd that fourth man come? Look up here. Look up here. Up here. Tell, look up here. There was a fourth man that went in the fire, and that was Jesus. And none of the fire burnt them. Their coats, their hats, none of them got burned. But the guys that put them in the fire, they're the ones that got burned. How about that? And God was with Daniel when he shut the mouth of the lion. God was with Joseph when he went to prison. The Bible says the Lord was with him and brought him from the prison to the right hand of the king. And my friend, there's a God in heaven that will be by your side when you need him. And can I say this? You're only going to know what I'm talking about when you go through it. Little children, would you look up here? You just cry to Jesus, okay? One day, it may happen to you like it happened to me. My mama died. My dad died. I had a dream of my older brother. My older brother Sam. He died. My brother Mark got killed and shot in the heart in a random shooting, a racial type of shooting. My sister Elaine died. My niece died. I don't know if there's any hurt like the ones that you love so much and you got to go to the funeral. How many has had that happen in your home or in your family? Somebody that you love, maybe a grandmom, maybe a granddad, or my mother-in-law passed away, my father-in-law passed away. How many have experienced death of a loved one? Would you look up here? How many? I want you to pay attention. How many? You got to be serious. Hey, son, you laugh now, but tears coming down your eyes. Tears are going to come down your eyes. You're going to need Jesus to stand before you. You're going to need Jesus to stand with you. It's a serious thing. This is a serious thing. And I'm telling you what, only Jesus can comfort you. Amen. Girls, I'm going to tell you, you're going to need Jesus to comfort you. And I'm telling you, each time that I experienced it, I learned to cry to the Lord and talk to the Lord and spend time in the prayer closet. But He was standing right by my side with me and helping me through it. I'd gone crazy if it wasn't for the Lord. People lose their minds. People take their lives. People They do all kind of things. And some of you don't understand it. You say they're so mad. They're so mean. Some of them are bitter. Some of them are mad. Hey, they lost somebody. They're mad at God. Let me tell you something. You're going to need God to comfort you and to strengthen you and to give you something that nobody can give you, but only God can give you. Look at me. You're going to need something only Jesus can give you. Your boyfriend can't give it to you. Your girlfriend can't give it to you. Your dear husband that loves you can't give it to you. Your wife can't give it to you. Your children can't give it to you. Your parents can't. Oh, we'll try. We'll try to comfort you. We'll try to help you, to encourage you. And that's the job of the pastor. And I told you, I'll be there. And I'll be there to visit you in the hospital. I'll be there to visit you at the funeral. But I'm telling you, the one that's going to help you most, listen, is Jesus. I'm the point you to Jesus. I'm the point you to God. I can't do it. I don't have the power to do it. Only God can. Only God can give you the tranquilizer. Only Jesus can give you the medicine that comes from heaven. I beg you, listen to the sermon this morning. I plead with you. Only God can keep our hearts and minds. Listen to me. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what next week is going to bring, next month or next year. But whenever you go through it, I want you to remember this sermon. I want you to remember the sermon. Now y'all don't believe this, but I believe sometimes God will personally hug you. Don't be scared if you feel an arm around you. Don't be scared if you feel an arm around you. That's what happened to Pastor Jack Hiles. He said when he prayed and prayed and prayed, he stayed on the grave, in the gravesite. He laid on the grave for days. And you know, he felt God's arm hugging him. Pastor Jack Hiles felt his arm hugging him. God's arm. I told you about Brother Popov. They beat him. They beat the preacher. They beat him up. And they beat him up. And they beat him so badly. And they want him to go out of his mind and quit. But he didn't quit. He kept on serving God. But make a long story short, Brother Popov felt God's arms hugging him. And the more they beat him, they couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him. The man loved Jesus. The man loved God. And by the way, there's rewards. Blessed are those that are persecuted. Blessed are those that suffer for righteousness' sake. There's rewards in heaven. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. And by the way, He doesn't wait till you go to heaven to reward you on this earth. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He gives you blessings. So whenever you suffer for Christ, He is going to reward you. He is going to repay you. And I'm telling you, there's a God that's going to give joy in your heart more than those in the world can ever get. He'll give you more joy in your heart than those that could ever get. And their celebrities have their money. They have their millions. They have their mansions. But they have divorced. They commit suicide. They don't want to live. But there's a God in heaven that will help and bless your marriage. He'll bless your family. Look at me, little kids. Look at me, young people. I want you to have a happy life. I want you to have a blessed life. I want God to bless your future. I want God to bless your future. And He will. He will. He will if you let Him. You're going to need the Lord to stand by your side. You're going to need the Lord to stand by your side. I'm going to close with this. Some of you in this room this morning, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. You might have to take a trip to the hospital, but you call on Jesus. He'll be by your side. I'm not trying to scare you. It might take jail. It might take prison. But God will stand by your side. No matter where you go through, behind the jail bars, and some, that's what's going to take for them to wake up. Some of them are going to have to lose everything they have. Some of them. But I want to tell you, you call on Jesus, you ask Him to help you, you get to Him. You get to Him. You may have to learn the hard way, but you make sure you get to Him. Okay? This preacher cares. This preacher wants the best for you. This preacher loves you. He'll stand right by your side. The day the Lord stood by the Apostle Paul, He'll stand by you. We're going to need him. We're going to need him. He'll come through for you. Tell him all about it. Okay? Bring it to the Lord, all right? He'll open the windows of heaven. He'll do it for you. You let him. He knows. Weep before him. Bring it before him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Bring it before him. Bring it before the Lord. Bring it before God. Talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. Bring it to him. I don't know what you're going to face, but he'll be with you. He'll be with you. We had a van roll over in the highway. God's with us. Nobody was admitted in the hospital. God was with us that day. We could all have been taken out of this world. Isn't that right, Brother Burley? You remember that day. A lot of them don't remember that day. But you remember that day the Lord stood by our side, don't you, Brother Burley? Brother Burley, we don't know what somebody else is going to go through. We've heard a lot of rollovers. Some didn't make it. Isn't that right, Brother Burley? God's been with us. I know you want him up and down the highway with you, don't you? I want him to be with you. Till this morning, you might have a burden.